Today's Shir Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, two lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah, if two animals did damage to a shor, to another animal, and both of those animals belonged to one person, so the Mishnah taught us Shneim Chayavim, they both shall be held responsible. Amalei, says the Gemara, Amalei Rabba Parzikul Ravashi, Shmaminah, from here the Mishnah said, Shneim Chayovim, it means that the Nizik could collect his damages from both of the animals. So we see, Shvarim Tamim, if two animals that are Tam, that are owned by one individual, Sheziku, that did damage, and we don't know which is the animal that did the damage, the loch is rotzim zegoiva. You could collect from either animal, rotzim zegoiva. Because the Mishnah's wording, shneim chayavim, seems to teach us that we could go after either animal, says the Gemara. The proof that you just offered is not compelling. Because hachamai skinen, we're going to explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of sharam mu'udim. We're talking about animals who are mu'adim, who did the damage. And therefore, since, as we've learned so many times, one of the primary differences between the mu'ud and the tam is that the mu'ud collects migufay. You're capped to only be able to collect from the animal itself, or the value of the animal. But when we speak about mu'adin, the halacha is that we pay min aliyah. What aliyah means is that the person whose animal did the damage is personally responsible for the damage that was done. So if it's talking about mu'adim, so then it doesn't make it, of course you could collect from either animal. The reason you could collect from either animal is because you could collect from any of the assets of the mazik. Says the Gemara, in mu'adim, if we're going to try to explain that Amish to speak about mu'adim, Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if two animals ran after one animal to attack it, and one animal was a large animal, and one was a small animal. And the Nizik Omer, and the Nizik says, a gadol hizik, that the larger animal is the one that did the damage. It was the smaller animal that did the damage. So we applied the principle of Amoitz Mechavera Lavaraya. But ask the Gemara if our Mishnah is referring to Ma'adim. So my Nafkalimina, what would it make a difference? What is the, which is, if it was the larger animal or the smaller animal that did the damage? The halacha is that since it's a mu'ud, and the mu'ud pays nezek shalim, and the mu'ud pays nezek shalim and aliyah, soif to make turim aliyah l'shlumei. You have to pay the nezek shalim that happened here. So what's the difference if it was the larger animal or the smaller animal? If we're now explaining that our Mishnah is speaking about mu'adim, Amalei, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Azam of Zayka, Sefer will have to explain as speaking about tamim. And if the Seif is speaking that it was a tam that did a damage, so now it's very important to know which is the animal that did the damage. Because as we said a moment ago, a tam only pays min ha-migufoy. The Reisha, but the Reisha that we spoke about is going to be speaking about mu'adim. And ask the Gemara, so we just said that the Reisha is speaking about mu'adim. And therefore, the halacha rotzim zegova, when that both animals are tam, we don't have a proof to that principle from our Mishnah. Amalei Abbas Achasav Ravashi, if it's your opinion that the ratio of our Mishnah speaking about ma'adim, so the Mishnah said chayovim. Chayovim means shneim chayovim, which means that both animals are held responsible. But ask the Gemara, if we say that the Mishnah is speaking about mu'adim, the payment is not taken from the animal. So it's not chayovim. Chayovim seems to indicate that we're taking payment from the animal. But when it's a mu'ud, as we keep on saying, and the owner of the mu'ud is responsible, chayiv gavim miboylei. So the focus is not on the animal. The focus is on the person who owns the animal. The su asked the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean when shneim chayovim? When the Mishnah used the word in shneim chayovim, when the animals that are mu'ud did damage, it's not from the animal that we collect. We collect from the person. Elo, says the Gemara, indeed, we're going to have to explain that Mishnah speaking about Batamim. And while one of the benefits of explaining that the Mishnah speaking about Tamim, the Reisha as well, is not that the Mishnah is consistent, that the entire Mishnah speaking about Tamim. And the reason the Mishnah said Shneim Chayovim is not to teach us the halacha that Rav and Perzika taught us, that when we don't know which of the tamim did damage, the halacha is Ratzim Ezer Goyva, Ratzim Ezer Goyva. The Mishnah is called to teach us as long as the animals are here, so now you could collect from them. But if they're not here, we can't collect, because our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Akiva. We learned on Daf Lamed Gimel, the machloikus of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that how do we look at the relationship of the mazik and the nizik after the animal did damage by itam? The Rabbi Kiva's opinion is shutfim ninhu, that cause the nizik has a claim from the mazik on the mazik for the damage that was done. That's why the nizik is entitled to half of the worth value of the animal. And now, tam desno tavayu. So as long as these animals are here, the loy matzi limit matchile, the mazik cannot push off the nizik, because he's a partner in these animals, and the mazik can't say you're not a partner here, because one of these animals did damage to the nizik's animal, and he became at that moment a partner in this animal, and that's why he can't be just ignored. Aval lesno tavai, when these two animals are not here, motza amale, at that point the mazik could tell the nizik, zilai sarai dahai turask of a shamloch, bring a proof that this animal is the animal that did damage, and that you are a shutif in the damage, and you're entitled to collect half the value of that animal. If you can't prove it, now you're not a partner here. Now, if that's the case, that's when he has a claim. But it has nothing to do that he could claim from either animal. It could well be, if he can't identify the animal, then he can't be considered a partner in either animal. But this is all according to Rekiva, that the mazik and nizik become partners in the animal that did damage. And because the mazik and the nizik become partners in the animal that did the damage, so now he could say to him, yes, if you could prove that this is the animal that did damage, so you're entitled to a share of this animal. But if you can't prove that this is the animal that did damage, you have no claim at all. Rav Shmuel's opinion, however, was that they're not partners. It's just that the mazik is a bal choiv to the nizik for whatever damage he did, and if it's a tam, obviously only half the damage. So the fact that the animal does or doesn't exist here, as long as we know that a animal owned by the mazik did damage, so now he has a choiv, he has a debt, an obligation to pay what he has to pay, the chatzin nezik. Begins the Mishnah Shor, Shenogach Abba Chavish Shvarm Zachazeh. An animal that attacked four or five animals, one after the other. And the Mishnah is speaking about the animal that's a tam. And of course, the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We've learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times in our shiurim, that an animal, after three times, is a mu'ud. So how could an animal have attacked another animal four or five times and still be considered a tam? So Rashi answers that between every time it attacked an animal, there was a period where it saw animals and it didn't attack them. But there was no, as we're going to learn in our parak, but there was no pattern to this. So that's why the animal, there was no pattern to the stop and go, but there was a pattern that he stopped. And therefore, since he stopped, he keeps on reverting back, that number of attacks doesn't count. Another explanation that the Rashba and the Ravid suggest is that what we've learned is that an animal could only be a labeled a mu'ud, not just because it did the attacking, but there were Edom and a Bezdin labeling this animal a mazik, a mu'ud. And here, the animal had the opportunity to attack 4 or 5 times, and only then did the Edom and Bezdin get involved. So even though indeed it did attack a number of times, but it's still not a mu'ud until it was formally labeled, until it was formally labeled a mu'ud. Another explanation that the Meiri suggests is that we learned the machlokes, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. How many times and how many days does it take to become a mu'ud? Ramei said it takes 3 attacks, versus Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that it doesn't take 3 attacks, it takes at least 3 attacks and 3 days. If that's the case, we can now have pshat in the Mishnah. We're going to explain that our Mishnah is referring to where there were 4 or 5 attacks, but all 4 or 5 attacks took place in one day, and an animal cannot become a mu'ud, at least according to Yehuda, unless it's 3 days. Says the Mishnah again, Shor shenogach abo v'chamishi shvarim zachazeh, a tam attacked another animal 4 or 5 times consecutively. So says the Mishnah, Shalom l'achran shebehem, the last victim gets chatzi nezek, vim yesh by meiser, and if there's money left over, yachs l'shulfanav, they'll pay to the animal that got attacked before that. Vim yesh by meiser, and if there's still money left over, yachs l'shulfanav, money will be given to the previous victim. Says the Mishnah, achran nisker, divir emeya. We go after the last victim. Actually, the Pnei Yeshua points out that the Miri just taught us that why is this animal still a tam, even if it did it a number of times in one day? So the Miri explained, because we're following the opinion that you need at least 3 days to become a tam. But as we learned, to become a mu'ud. But as we learned, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rameya didn't agree. So to explain the Mishnah, says the Pnei Yeshua, that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, where right now the Mishnah says, Divrei Rameya, doesn't really make a lot of sense. Rav Shimon Omer, Shava Masayim. If a tam, which is worth 200 zuz, did damage Shava Masayim. It damaged and attacked another animal that's worth 200 zuz. And to make it, and as the Rishonim point out, to make the example as easy as possible, then in the value of a klum, the carcass has no value. So the loch is, the victim is entitled to chatzi nezek. So since he's entitled to chatzi nezek, he'll take half the value. If this animal now goes and attacks another animal that's also worth 200 zuz, hachrin noitel mana, the owner of the last animal that was attacked takes of mana, 100 zuz, v'shlofanov, and the owner of the tam and the first victim have left in this attacking animal, zen noitel chamishim, v'zen noitel chamishim. So the way to understand the Mishnah, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that we just discussed at the end of the previous parak. And Rabbi Kiva tells us the victim, the nizik, automatically becomes a partner in the animal that did the damage. So now, because he's a partner in that animal, partner means for better and for worse. So he's a partner in any damage that this animal does. Since he's a partner in any damage this animal does, so therefore he has to lose from his ownership to pay to the victim. So again, Hachonait L'mana, the last victim gets 100, for Shulfanov and the Mazik and the previous Nizik, Zenait L'chamishim Zuz, and then Zait L'chamishim Zuz. Now, Chozav Nogach, Shor Achashav Masayim, then it does damage, tax another animal with 200 Zuz, exact same story. Hachonait L'mana, the owner of the last animal attacked, takes 100 Zuz, for Shulfanov, the partner Nizik from the prior act of Hezek will get 50 Zuz. The Shnayim Rishonim and the first two, the owner, the original owner of the Mazik and the first victim will each get 25. We'll have 25 Zuz, all based on the same principle, because as the animal attacks, they become partners. So says the Gemara, that we, as we just explained, we learned on Daf Lamed Gimel, the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, how do we look at the partnership between, how do we look at the relationship between the Mazik and the Nizik? And we explained that Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that we look at it as a Choyv, the Mazik owes money to the Nizik. According to Rabbi Kiva, when, as soon as the Tam did damage to its victim, the Mazik and Nizik become partners. And since they become partners, so the Nizik, as we just explained, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah, it becomes responsible. So the Rishonim have a very fundamental problem with this approach. They say that, yes, the Nizik becomes a partner with the Mazik, but the Nizik doesn't become a partner with the Mazik until Beis Din says that we recognize that this animal of the Mazik did the damage, and now you are a partner. But our Mishnah speaks about a case where these attacks happen one after the other, and certainly it all happened one after the other, and there was no opportunity to go to Beis Din, and Beis Din should identify and say, yes, you, the Nizik, are now a partner with the Mazik. So Tysus, the very Maskel, Iker Rebbe explains that since we're speaking, that the Mishnah will be speaking about a case where there is no question that the Mazik's animal did damage to the Nizik's animal. He has Edim, he has everything that he needs to prove that he is the victim. And since he could prove it so easily, that's why he automatically becomes a partner, even though they didn't go to Beis Din. The Rashba disagrees, and the Rashba says that you don't have to go to Beis Din. You have to go to Beis Din. And until Beis Din tells the Nizik, you are a partner in this animal, we can't hold the Nizik responsible. We can't say to the Nizik, you're a partner in this animal, and now you have obligations and responsibility to make sure that this animal doesn't do any damage. Rather, explains the Rashba, the way to explain our Mishnah is that's exactly what happened here. What happened here was that they went to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din said, yes, you, the Nizik, are the Nizik, and therefore you're a partner. And therefore, once you're a partner, as we're going to explain, the halacha, what the Nizik is responsible as a partner, kick in. So says the Gemara, Masnis Amani, who is our Mishnah following? The like Rabbi Shmuel, but ask the Gemara, it doesn't follow not the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, not the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Ik Rabbi Shmuel, certainly as we've been explaining, if you want to explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, hi, Achron Nisker, the Mishnah said that we give the last person, the last victim is first to collect. Why? Asked the Gemara. Risha Niskami Baile. If the Mazik becomes a Baal Chayv, so we know that the halacha is that when we speak about Baal Chayv, when somebody owes money, the halacha is that the first loan collects first. So why should the last victim collect first? The first victim should collect first. And as I saw the Rishonim, to make this the question even stronger, say as soon as the animal attacks and does damage, the animal, so to speak, becomes like an apoteki, becomes like mortgaged for this debt. So certainly when we speak about an apoteki and mortgage for a debt, we go in the order that they occurred. So what are you going to say, says the Gemara? Ikar Rekiva. As we explained in the Mishnah is following the opinion of Akiva, Dama Torei Deshutvihi. They're considered partners. As the Gemara, that's why the first Nizik becomes a partner with the Mazik as soon as that occurrence occurred. And therefore, he becomes responsible for any damage, any attack that happened afterwards. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Yesh be moiser yachsel l'shalafonav. If there's money left over, then we go to the prior. Says the Gemara, since this nizik, the first nizik, became a partner here, so ask the Gemara, l'kula mi boile. So then, the halach should be that all of them, he should become responsible to whatever degree to payment of all of the victims. Says the Gemara, and actually, what we're really saying is that if a mayor is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, so he should have stated his opinion the way Rabbi Shimon stated it. Because as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the way Rabbi Shimon stated his opinion works perfectly with the way with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Loilam Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah actually is going to follow the opinion of Rishmol, the Baal Chayvus Nenu, that the way we look at the relationship between the Mazik and the Nizik is the Mazik becomes, oh, as soon as the attack happened, the Mazik starts owing money to the Nizik. I, with the Kashloch, if we asked a moment ago, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, so why does the Mishnah say, Achron Niskun, that the last person collects, Rishon Niskar, as we explained, whenever there's a line of people that I owe money to, the first person who I owe the money to is the first one to collect. Answers the Gemara, Hachemai Skinen, Kigan Shetufsa Nesug Legosimina. The Nizik sees the animal, and Nasa Alav Kishay Mesachal Nezakim. So the moment the Nizik sees the animal, and the reason he sees the animal is, as Rashi explains, he's concerned that the mazik is going to, and we're going to have such examples in our perek, the mazik is going to create a situation with the animal that did the damage, which again, we're speaking about a tam, will not be available. And therefore, in order to, and then it'll be impossible for him to collect what's due to him. So that's why the Mishnah, so the nizik goes and seizes the animal. Since he seizes the animal, so now he becomes Kishay Mesachal Nezakim. He becomes like Kishay Mesachal. So of course, the Rishonim point out that when the Gemara says he became a Kishay Mesachal, the Gemara didn't have to say that he became a Kishay Mesachal. He could have become a Kishay Mechinim as well, and a Kishay Mechinim is also responsible. The reason the Mishnah said that he's treated like a Kishay Mesachal is because the level of responsibility, as we know when we speak about Shomrim, the level of responsibility of a Shomer Socher is a greater level of responsibility than the level of a Shomer Chinam. So the Mishnah specifically wants to say, the Gemara specifically wants to say we're speaking about a Shomer Socher, because not only does the Nizik, by seizing the animal, become responsible, but he becomes responsible on a very high level, that he becomes responsible to the same level of a Shomer Socher. And that's why he's going to be responsible. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the Nizik grabbed the animal, so why do we say, Yach by Moise Yachshol Shlofanov, if there's money left over, we should give it to the person who got the next victim, Yachsel Mabayle. The owner is actually innocent here, and he should get back his animal. And Sidma Amrav HaKatani, Im Yesh by Moise Nezakov, if there's money left over after all the people who got damaged collect what they're entitled to, then the halacha is yachshe shelofanov, then it goes back to the first nizik. But if that won't be the case, the halacha is then he won't have to, if there's money left over, he'll collect. If not, he will not collect, because by seizing the animal, he became a shemesachem. The kenkias roven amar Rav Yochanan b'shum p'shiyah sham nagabo. The way to approach the Mishnah is that this person, this nizik, sees the animal. Once he sees the animal, he becomes a shemesachem, and therefore, since he became a shemesachem, that's the point. Then that's why he's responsible. Ask the Gemara, but my kimta. So now we've sort of reversed ourselves, and we've been explaining that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Ishmael. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, same Ema Seifa. Let's learn the Seifa of our Mishnah. As we learned, the Gemara just repeats the words of the Seifa of the Mishnah. Shimon, I'm Shar Shav Masayim. Shenaga Shar Shav Masayim. Ve'en Enaf Yav Klum. Zen Noitel Manav. Zen Noitel Manav. Chaz V'Naga. Shar Acha Shav Masayim. Hacha Noitel Manav. V'Shlofar Av Zen Noitel Chamishim. Zuz V'Zen Noitel Chamash Zuz. Chaz V'Naga. Shar Shav Masayim. Hacha Noitel Manav. V'Shlofar Av Noitel Chamishim Zuz. V'Shnayim Achronim Dinazov. Which Osnon Rekiva. Isn't that following the opinion of Rekiva? The way we learned Rabbi Kiva's opinion, in the way we learned Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah, if the Nizik and the Mazik become partners, the Amar Tur the Shutvehi, that the Nizik and the Mazik become partners. So ask the Gemara, the way we're explaining the Mishnah now is that the Reish is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amri answers the Gemara in. That's the way we're going to have to explain the Mishnah. The Amar Le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, as we've learned many times in Amasechta, Shinana, Rabbi Yehuda was called Shinana either because he was very sharp or because he had sharp teeth. Shvoik Masnisen, don't try to explain the Mishnah otherwise. V'tar Basroi, just listen to what I have to say, that the Reisha of the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. We skipped the words in the parentheses. Begins the Gemara Tanan Hossam, we're going to learn in a Mishnah later in a Masechta. Hatokei lechaveroi. If somebody blows, Rashi explains it's not blows. Hatokei Rashi means somebody hits somebody by his ear, and that's one pshat. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that he blew a shofar into his ear. So says the Gemara, "Atakel chaveroi." If somebody did this to somebody else, of course the Rashba points out that even though he did this, he didn't make the person become deaf, because we're going to learn that loch is charshoi. If somebody causes Rachman Litzlon somebody else to be deaf, then the person, the loch is charshoi, by making him deaf, he becomes worthless, and he has to pay noisim to make kulay. So even though he did this, he didn't cause deafness with this. Tanan asam atukel chaveroi. If he did this, noisim leisela. Chazal identified that he has to pay a seller for the boishes. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Glili, noisim leimana. He has to give a mana, 100 zuz. For the boishes. And Rashi points out that the Gemara here is focused strictly on the boishes payment. Of course, there could be nezek tzar and sheves for such an act, but that is not what Chazal is focused on. Furthermore, Rashi Masechta Gedushin says that how can we give a set price for boishes? Don't we always learn that when we speak about a boishes payment, we follow the principle of hakol lefiyam mevayish, hakol lefiyam mezbayish? We have to see who the person that did it and who the person who was the victim. So that's why Rashi says that what we're paying here is that the person who did the damage is a person who's a regular person, a Beinoni, and the person who was the victim was also Beinoni. But then Tysus wants to suggest that that's actually the machloikis, the presumed machloikis between the Tanakama, between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. I remember Shem Rabbi Yosef Glili. The Tanakama is talking about a Beinoni, and Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about an Adam Chashev, but the Rishonim find that shot difficult because it's such a huge disparity between a Sela and a Mana. Moreover, it seems from the Pashup Pshat and the Gemara that they're arguing, not that they're agreeing. So says the Gemara, who gave the Tukl Chavre? There was somebody who did this. He Tukl Chavre Ba'oznoi, and they came to Rav Tovia Bar Masna for a Din Torah. And says the Gemara, and Rav Tovia Bar Masna said that they should pay a Sela in the concurring to with the opinion of the Tanakhama. Many Rishonim have a problem with this Gemara, because as we've learned many times in our Masechta, that they did not do these type of Dinei Torah in Bavel, and these people lived in Bavel. So how could he get involved in, we didn't collect boishes in Bavel? So some explain, there's two ways that the Rishonim explain to answer this question. One approach is that the nizik, as we learned earlier in our shiur, was typhus. So even though normally a din Torah like this is not done in Bavel, but if a nizik seizes the money, as we've learned previously, then the nizik is entitled to hold onto the money. That's one pshat. Other pshat that the Rashba suggests, as we learned early in our Masechta, is if they determine that they're going to Etz Yisrael for the Din Torah, so then if they're going to have the Din Torah in Etz Yisrael, so then he is entitled to collect the boishes. Says the Gemara, Shalcha Rav Tovia Bar Masna L'Kameider Rav Yosef. Now a question was asked. When we speak about a seller, there are two sellers discussed throughout Shas. Is it seller Tzuri or seller Medina? The value of the seller Medina is an eighth of the value of a seller Tzuri. A seller Tzuri was the original seller which they had, which is pure silver. The seller Medina is a seller that has mixed into it other materials. And Dalochi and by seller Medina, and therefore it's worth an eighth. So we're saying that you have to pay a seller. What type of seller do you have to pay? A seller Tzuri or a seller Medina? Amalei. So Rabbi Yosef responded to Nesua. We learned this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, as we got to the Rav Shimon's opinion that we just read, Ha'achu noitel manav v'shlofanav chamishim zuz. V'shnayim ha'rishonim dinazav. Says the Gemara, v'isak adatach. If we're going to say that whenever we speak about seller, we speak about seller Medina, so Nifla v'nisla, tarti v'sela. So we're talking about the seller Medina, so then we should keep on going because there's still much value left. It must be that we're not talking about the seller Medina, says the Gemara, and that's why we can't continue dividing. Because if we're going to keep on dividing, we're going to get to halves, and the Mishnah tries to avoid that. Amalei, she says, your proof is not a compelling proof. Tana Karuch, list of Lazel, is it the job of a Tana to keep on mentioning how we keep on dividing? Mishnah doesn't want to keep on dividing, even though if the Mishnah was talking about a Selat Suri, we could have divided down to each one getting 12 and a half, not getting 25, and not saying that the Mishnah doesn't want to deal with halves. The Mishnah just doesn't want to keep on mentioning that we keep on dividing. Ask the Gemara, because it's not necessary. So says the Gemara, my havalah. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the halacha? Is it Selat Tzuri or Selat Medina? Says the Gemara, Peshtua, the answer was given from a statement there, Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Rav, that said, "Kol kesef omer b'toyra." Whenever the Torah speaks about kesef, it's kesef tsuri, it's the more expensive kesef. Whenever they speak about divrayim, when it's a derabbanon, we speak about kesef medina. And since this halacha that we started this sugya with, that it was determined, a predetermined, how much will be the obligation for tekei ozno chaveroi was determined by the rabbanon, so it must be the less valuable kesef, the kesef medina. Says the Gemara, Amalai Hu Gavra. There was the person who did this, says the person who was the victim, says, if all I'm entitled is Palga de Zuzuhu, because it's an eighth of a, that's all it is, Loi Beina, I'm not interested in it. It's not really significant enough money to me. Neis Filenium. He said, give this money to poor people. Had Amalei, but then he reversed himself. And Amar, he said, no, Nesla, nearly, I want to have the money because Ezel Vivroi Ben Nafshoi. I want to make myself healthy. So the Rishayim ask a question. We said a moment ago that payment for doctor bills are separate. So if payment for doctor bills is separate, so then he doesn't have to use this money for the doctor bill. So he is getting paid separately for the doctor bills. Says the Gemara, Avroi Nafshoi means I want to use it to buy food. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, too late. The poor people already got it. So the question, of course, is there were no poor people there. So how can we say that they got it? Anan. So Rav Yosef says that I am a gabit stocker and yad aniyim anan. And I therefore represent aniyim. And even though they didn't actually get it, it's as if they get it. Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Yisoymim einen tzrichen prusbol. The halacha we know is that the Shemitah year cancels all of the debts. Now when we speak about the Shemitah year canceling the debts, of course the question is, why is that? And the simplest way of learning it is because what the Shemitah year accomplishes is that the Shemitah year cancels all the debts. But as we learned, Hillel instituted a prosbul, that by writing a prosbul, what you accomplish is that the Bezdin takes over the debt. And therefore, even though if one individual owes money to another individual, indeed the Shemitah year cancels the debt, but that's not debts that are owed, that are have been taken over by Bezdin. And says the Gemara, Yisoymim don't need to have a prosbul. The Kain Tanir Ben Chama, Yisoymim ain't a tzrichim prosbul, Shagamlila Beistinam, Avin Shay Yisoymim Hu. They take the place of the Yisoymim. And therefore, it's as if the debt was given over to the Din. And therefore, the same thing here, that the Yerb Yosef is the Gabi of Danim. However, the Nemuki Yosef makes a very interesting point. He says, even though the Gemara is using the Prusbul Halacha as a concept, as a factor here, it's not really the same. Because here we're talking about Aniyim. And here we're saying that the Rabbi Yosef, who is the Gabbai Tztaka, is considered the Yad Aniyim. When it comes to Prusbul, we say the Bezdin becomes the owner of the debts that the Yisoymim have. But that's only a din by Yisoymim. That isn't a din by Aniyim. And Aniyim, when the Shemitah year comes, if they don't want that the Shemitah year should cancel their debts, they have to have a prosbul. They can't just rely, like we're saying, that the Gabbai Tztaka takes over the place of the Aniyim. That isn't necessarily said when it comes to prosbul, Aniyim have to have their own. So the Rishonim explain, the Rabbi Yosef by saying that I am the Gabi of Aniyim, the Yad Aniyim. So how did he take ownership? Because it's considered Kinyan Mamet Shloshtim. What does Kinyan Mamet Shloshtim mean? That if you have a situation where two people owe each other money, if all the parties to a transaction are together, so therefore they admit that I owe them money, that's a kinyan. And we've often explained that, therefore here, we had all the parties. We had the mazik, we had the nizik, and we had the Rabbi Yosef, who's the gabit stockup, and that's why it became a good kinyan, the kinyan of mamet shloshtim. And as we've often explained in the shiurim, why is a kinyan mamet shloshtim a valid kinyan? Because the whole point of a kinyan is to show a seriousness of intent. When all the parties in the transaction are there, that seriousness is achieved. And that's why Rabbi Yosef said, too late to back off. But we learned in Masechta Kedushin, on Daf Chav Chesam Abeis, that there's a concept of a miras l'gvoy k'misras l'hedyet. And as soon as somebody says, for example, that this object is hegdish, it becomes hegdish, and you can't go back. So therefore, ask the Rif, why does our Gemara have to say that the reason it works is because a miras because of mamet shloshtam? Why don't we say that it works because I'm in Rosoi ke l'gvayk misros l'hedyet? So the Rif says that since to apply the concept of Amiros l'gvayk misros l'hedyet is Amiros l'gvayk misros l'hedyet is only on something which I'm actually holding. Here in our Gemara, the Nizik doesn't have this. And therefore, since the Nizik doesn't have yet this money that was owed to him, we can't apply the concept of Miras L'Gvoy L'Kisras L'Hedyet. The Baal Amor disagrees with that. And the Baal Amor says that the reason, he says you don't have to have physical possession to say Miras L'Gvoy L'Kisras L'Hedyet. The reason over here we don't say it is because only by Hegdish is there a halacha a Miras L'Gvoy K'misras L'Hedyet. But here we're not giving to Hegdish. Here they were giving it to Aniyim. And by Aniyim, the halacha is that we don't say a Miras L'Gvoy K'misras L'Hedyet. Says the Gemara, Chanan Bisha Tokle U'Gavra. Chanan Bisha did this to a person, Oslo Kameh of Huna, and they came to Dair to of Huna. Omele Zil Havle Pagdazuzim. Pay him a half a zuz. As the Tanakhama said, that you pay with Sel Medina, which is equal to Achati Zuzah Sel Medina. Havle Zuzah Maka. So Chanan Bisha had a coin that was not in good shape. And we know, as we often know in Shas, that they used to pay with coins. The coin's value was very much determined on that and what shape the coin was. So he said, I'll give you my coin, but you have to give me change, Palgada Zuzah, because I only owe you a half a zuz. The Nizik did not want to take this coin, because the Nizik said, now I'm going to end up sitting with a coin that really doesn't have much value. So what he did was, Tokalei Echrina, Mara says, he did it, Chanan Bisha did this to him again, and now he owed him a zuz, V'yave Nilei, and he gave it to him. So, of course, the Rishonim explain that if somebody is regularly doing these kind of acts, just taking from him some money is not going to be adequate. Here, it was obvious that he was doing it just out of frustration, and that's why they only made him pay the fine of a chatzi zuz, and now it was two chatzi zuzes, and he just gave the nizik this zuz that he wanted to get rid of.